today's message is, even now, rejoice.
Yes.
Even now, rejoice. So even now, especially now, God's words are relevant. Rejoice in the Lord. And today he says to us three things, and then I'll be on out your way. He says, rejoice, don't worry, and pray.
Yes.
Rejoice, don't worry, and pray. And these things work together. Let's start with rejoice, if that's all right. But to rejoice means to make joyful,
yeah,
or to take delight. So when you hear the word rejoice, you hear make joyful or take delight in. So notice that it is written here in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Notice that this is an imperative. there's no softness in this statement. He says rejoice, right? And when you start a sentence like that, there's an implied, you all did English. The youngest person in here is probably my son. He's 8 or going on 9. He'll be 9 next month. But he understands, I believe, the implied you.
Yeah.
So if I look at him, help me, son. Don't make me look bad in front of all these people. So if I look at him and I say, get up. See, I didn't say his name. I didn't say you. But I looked at him and I kind of, baked the cake there a little bit. Have a seat. But you have the understanding that if someone looks at you and says something, there's an implied you. Right? So when the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, it's an imperative. He's talking to you.
Yeah.
It's not a passive thing. There's no other way to take this but to understand that God is talking to you.
Amen.
Rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't escape it by saying, maybe with this passage of scripture, you could try to take it and try to dice it and cut it and say it and act like it's something else or act like it was just for those people then. But you can't escape the fact that God is talking to you when he says, rejoice.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we say things like, oh, I can't. It's too hard to take delight. It's too hard to have joy. Do you know what's going on around you right now? Have you watched the news at all? And you want to tell me to be joyful? That doesn't make sense.
Amen.
I'm sick. My mother's sick. I've lost people to COVID. And you're telling me to have joy. But the Bible says, rejoice.
Yes, sir.
Rejoice.
Amen.
And here's the problem. If you think about it like a human being, if you use your logical brain, it does not make sense to have joy. It doesn't. If you use your brain, it doesn't make sense to be joyful in situations that are difficult. It doesn't make sense when over 600,000 people have died from this disease to say, I can have joy. It doesn't make sense when people are driving in also and you see the tents of people that are having a difficult time in their life. And it doesn't make sense for me to say to you, have joy in these situations. It doesn't even have to go that far. It doesn't make sense for me to tell you to have joy when if you look at your account and there's only 2 places past the decimal. It doesn't make sense if your child is sick for me to tell you to have joy. But luckily for you and for me, it's not me telling you to have joy.
Amen.
And you don't have to try to manufacture this joy on your own. Because the Bible doesn't stop at rejoice. What does it say? Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Always.
Always.
Rejoice in the Lord. So there's the key. There's the key. I can tell you be happy. Right? What's the name of the guy that did the do? What's his name? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Right? That's cool. But at some point outside of Christ, you're going to worry. And you're not going to be happy.
Amen.
Amen. So you rejoice in the Lord. But here's the thing. church,
uh-huh,
Christians, what do we really look to have joy? Right? It could be a whole bunch of things.
Uh-huh.
Right? And we want joy, but we settle for happiness.
Uh-huh.
And there's a difference between joy and happiness.
Yes, it is.
Joy comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Happiness comes from what's happening.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen.
Your situation brings you happiness. And a lot of the things that we go through, and a lot of the sadness, and a lot of the depression, and a lot of the hurt feelings that we have and we experience are due to two things, at least two things. More, of course, but at least two things.
Uh-huh.
Misplaced trust,
uh-huh,
and poorly managed expectations.
Uh-huh.
Misplaced trust,
uh-huh,
and poorly managed expectations.
Amen.
We trust people to do things, and if they don't get done, we're not happy. We trust that things will happen, and when they don't come, our happiness is affected.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Even with all the mistakes that the government makes, at some point when we do our taxes, or is it just me? When I do my taxes, I won't talk about y'all. I look at the little things I do it myself and do TurboTax. It's not a commercial TurboTax, but I do it myself because I don't want to pay somebody all that money to do my taxes when they're just plugging in money. Have you ever been to, sidebar, have you ever taken yourself, your stuff to the tax man and they're really just plugging in stuff? And at the end of all that plugging in, they say, oh, that would be $400.
Amen.
I do a TurboTax for like $60. Anyway.
Amen.
So after I do all that, I'm looking for my check. And they say at the end of it, on the computer screen, you can expect your check within 4 to 6 weeks. Right around week three, I'm like, hey, where's my check? Got plans for this check. I need that, you know, whatever it's going to be. But here's the thing. I trust that the government is going to send me my check. Because they said they would. I trust that TurboTax, the computer program, did what it was supposed to do, and I'm actually going to get that. I trust that when I pay my $80, that things are going to work. And if it doesn't come, I'm going to tell you the truth. If at the end of week 9 my check's not here, I'm on the phone with TurboTax. But if you allow yourself to go too far in something like that, your happiness is robbed from you, right? And if you allow your happiness to get robbed because you mistrust things and people and situations, then you can affect your joy. Because happiness is about situations. Joy is from within. Amen?
Amen.
So being happy is not the goal. From a young age, a lot of us get really bad advice. Now, maybe everybody hasn't gotten it, but somebody told me at one point that if you just do what you like, do whatever it is that you like to do, and then you'll be happy. You shouldn't do things that you don't like to do. If you have a choice, you shouldn't do things that you don't like to do because you want to be happy. Well, that's bad advice. What if what makes me happy, and I went to school for counseling, and we had these whole philosophical discussions. What if what makes me happy is taking your stuff? Right? Because if you tell a kid, do what makes you happy. Okay. I enjoy writing on your walls. You told him to do what makes him happy. You know what? If you find the thing that makes you smile, that would be great. What if I smile when I punch people in the face? See, you can't base it on how I feel. You can't base your joy on how you feel. You can't base what you're supposed to do on how you feel. That's why when the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always,
uh-huh,
you're not always going to feel like rejoicing.
Amen.
So you have to do what God is calling you to do.
Amen.
Regardless of how you feel about it.
Hallelujah.
Now you might not be happy while you're doing it, but your doing it will bring you joy.
My Lord.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So how do you get joy? The source of your joy should be the focus of your attention.
Amen.
So he said, in the Lord. So that could be taken two ways, right? You rejoice in what and who the Lord is. Mm-hmm. You rejoice in what the Lord says.
Yeah.
You rejoice in what the Lord tells you to do, right?
Or you get in the Lord. You spend time with him. You spend time in his word. You spend time doing what he tells you to do. And then in that state, you rejoice.
Amen.
Because if you can stay in that state, you can stay rejoicing.
Amen.
And you can follow the imperative that God has given you to
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
Always. Now listen, Amen. Always is not going to always be what you want.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Always. It's not going to always make sense. In the book of James, if you want to go there, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says this. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces
patience.
Endurance
yes.
or patience.
Yes.
And let endurance have its perfect work so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking
nothing.
Nothing.
Amen.
Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials.
Yeah.
See, the Bible says rejoice in the Lord when? Always.
Always.
And then he comes back, the Bible comes back, God tells you through a different surrogate that you should consider it all joy when you encounter trials.
Yes, Lord.
Now listen, now. I don't particularly care for uncomfortable things. Raise your hand if you like uncomfortable situations. I don't see any hands. But in those situations,
yes.
you have an imperative again from the Lord. Years and years ago, I used to be able to run a 9-minute mile. Years ago. but I could run 3 miles at a time and not stop. Just go. 3 miles. On a treadmill.
Amen.
Watching a show. Running. Right? Right now, I can run probably about a half a mile at one time. Then I have to walk, and then I can run a little more. But if I were to continue to do it, I can get back up to running 3 miles a time. That's endurance, right?
Amen.
So right now, I can be attacked by the enemy through a person who thinks they're attacking me.
My Lord.
And they can say what they want for the most part. And it won't affect me. Right? And I can say, you know what, I appreciate your opinion. I'll pray for you. I'm sorry you feel that way. Maybe we can talk about it a little bit later. I can do that now. Because I've built my endurance. Right? At 26. My wife was with me. At 26, I didn't have that kind of endurance. You had 2, maybe 3 times to say something to me. And I was going to tell you about yourself. But that was long time ago. But the Bible says that consider it all joy when you encounter these types of trials. Why? Because you have an opportunity to build your patience. You have an opportunity to increase your endurance. You have an opportunity to show the world Christ in a way that they will not understand. Because normal people tell you about yourself. Normal people punch you in the face. Normal people do things that aren't Christ-like. But thank God we're not normal. Now, if you walk in here thinking that you're normal, I'm going to tell you, you're not. You're not normal.
Amen.
Normal people don't have the kind of patience that you have. Normal people aren't willing to take this instruction from God to rejoice and have joy in difficult situations. That's not normal.
Amen.
Because God made us peculiar and different.
Yes, he did.
And weird. And the world looks at us and says, "You're weird." And we say, "Thank you." Because we don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to be like that.
Yeah.
It's easy to ignore God and not do what he wants you to do.
My Lord.
Well, for a while. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance. Here's a few circumstances. You don't have to go to all these. I'll give you the scriptures later. In Habakkuk 3:17 through 18, it says this. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. That does not sound like a joyful situation. Amen? But verse 18 says, yet I will exalt the Lord. And I will rejoice in the God of my salvation.
Yes, Lord.
So even in a famine situation, we're expected to exalt the Lord.
Yes.
And rejoice in him.
Hallelujah.
In Acts chapter 5, it says this. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 says, so they went on their way from the presence of the council. Now, this is when they brought the disciples in front of the folks, in front of the council, and told them to stop speaking about Jesus.
My Lord.
You stop speaking about this, Jesus. People are believing you.
Amen.
The people that we are over and that we have jurisdiction over are believing you about this Jesus dude who's not even here anymore. You stop speaking about him.
My Lord.
41 says, so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Come on.
They rejoiced that they were worthy to be shamed for his name.
Wow.
We don't want people to say bad things about us, and we do bad stuff.
My Lord.
Paul and Silas, while they were in prison, Acts 16 says this, 16:23. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Remember this, right? And then down to 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They got beat and put in jail, and they still sang praises to God in the jail.
Glory.
And you know how that story ends. They ended up getting let go by the Lord.
Yeah.
1 Peter 4, last one. In every situation is what I'm saying. In every situation, in various trials, we are to rejoice. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. Remember that?
Yeah.
As though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing.
Yeah.
Keep on rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
So that also that at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation.
Amen.
So he tells us, listen, in every situation,
yes, Lord,
rejoice.
My Lord.
No matter what you're going through, you have an opportunity to grow. You have an opportunity to stretch your endurance. You have an opportunity to work out your patience. And that verse said, let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So I said, what do we say? Rejoice. God is saying three things to us. Rejoice. Don't worry or don't be anxious. Verse 6 says, be anxious for what?
Nothing.
But what? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Don't be anxious.
Thank you, Jesus.
Some symptoms of anxiety are fatigue.
Yeah.
and restlessness.
My Lord.
Or actual sweating. Hypervigilance is something that happens when you are anxious. You're always kind of on alert, right? If you're anxious or you're worried, if you have anxiety, you're always worried about the things going on around you. You might be irritable if you're anxious. It might be difficult to talk to us when we're anxious, right? Your thoughts keep racing. You can't turn your brain off. Have you ever said, I can't turn my brain off? I know I have. Have you ever laid down at night and just stared at the ceiling? Right? And you just stare because you can't sleep. Because you have all these thoughts going on in your head, right? You're trying to figure out how to make things happen for tomorrow, and it's still today. The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own concern. Amen? So, excessive worry, fear, feeling of impending doom, right? Nausea, palpitations. A lot of people in these last year and a half or so had anxiety reactions, and they did not know what was going on just because it was always there. And there's always something to worry about. But if we remain rejoicing, this won't be an issue for us. That's why rejoice was first. If we remain rejoicing, if we stay in his joy, if we stay in him and continue to praise him, then it's difficult for, listen, not even difficult. Anxiety and worry and rejoicing cannot cohabitate.
Amen.
Both of those things can't happen at the same time. You're either going to rejoice,
yes, Lord,
or you're going to be in worry.
My Lord.
Listen, we worry about everything. If I stop talking right now and I gave you a second, I won't do it. I'll try not to. If I gave you a second to think about all the things that you have to be concerned about when you leave this door, if I gave you a second to think about all the things that you have to do tomorrow, if I gave you a second to think about all the things that you stopped doing to come here this morning. That's why you're a weirdo, because you have stuff that you could be doing. Many of us have things that we should be doing, but we said, you know what? God is more important than all those things.
Amen.
Makes you a weirdo. Just embrace it. I'm going to call you a weirdo.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Embrace it. So if I allowed you to think about all the things that you have to be concerned about, you wouldn't be able to hear the rest of the message. Because you have too many things to worry about. Bills, work, children, COVID, gas, water bills. We just bought a pool. We bought an above ground pool. And we put it together. My children enjoy it. That's the thing about being a kid. Enjoy being a kid. My son is almost nine. My daughter's 13. I see a young man back there. I don't know. I don't want to assume that you're under 18, but how old are you, young man in the purple shirt? All the way back. You, don't turn your head. How long? 15? Enjoy it. So enjoy being a kid. Because they get a pool. Ooh, great. We got to get in the water, right? Yes. Swim. Yes. Throw water everywhere. It's a above-ground pool, right? Just splash, splash. Splash. Love it. 5,000 gallons of water. Just splash, splash. Turn on the water. We built the thing. It took us a week to prepare the ground and put the thing up.
Amen.
Put the water holes in. It took 10 hours to fill. But you, splash, splash.
Splash, splash, splash.
Me and my wife, we're listening to the water go in, and it's like 100, 200, 300. Good grief. 400. This water bill is going to be ridiculous. Splash, splash. We love it. If I could have that childlike, non-worry, and just enjoy. That's what God wants us to have. Amen?
Amen.
Anxiety steals your joy.
Yes.
Anxiety steals your joy. I firmly believe this is why God, through Paul, told the Philippian Christians to not be anxious.
Amen.
Joy and anxiety can't coexist. You know this is true because you could go home today and sit down and look at all the things that God has blessed you with.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
If you look around and say, oh, this is wonderful. God has blessed me with this home, and I enjoy having this, and this is great. And then if you allow the enemy to start speaking to your head, you think, man, that lock on that door doesn't look all that secure. How do I know when I leave here that somebody's not going to come take my stuff? Amen. I need an alarm. Amen. Matter of fact, I need more than an alarm. I need a camera and an alarm. Yeah. I need a camera and an alarm system and somebody on the other end of the phone that will come get me if I fall. Matter of fact, if I fall, what's going to happen? Do I need to get one of those watches that tell people I fell? And if I fall in here by myself, what's going to happen? Is somebody going to come? Will anybody care? What happens when I die? Will people come to my funeral? And see, all those things, if you allow yourself, will run through your mind. Joy, anxiety can't coexist. Well, how do we get rid of it then?
Amen.
How do we get rid of it? Because anxiety will come. Worry will come. It's waiting for you. It's right underneath the surface.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So how do we get past that? Verse 6 also says what? But in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So pray about everything.
My Lord.
Pray earnestly.
Uh-huh.
Pray always.
Without ceasing.
That without ceasing, Pastor Garvey, who I grew up under as a Christian, called that prayer without ceasing as prayer breathing. Like you breathe and you pray.
Yes.
Every breath is really a prayer. If you recognize the fact that every breath that you take, God has given you, then you can be thankful for every breath.
My Lord.
That doesn't necessarily mean that you pray all the time, like you just walk around praying.
Right.
Because then you wouldn't be able to talk to people, and you wouldn't. Amen. People would really call you a weirdo. but it's understanding that everything that we have is worthy of prayer, and staying in a prayerful state of mind at all times. Let it be known. Let your requests be known.
Please, Lord.
To God.
Yes.
And that's an interesting statement. And what I wrote down was, you can't really let God know anything. We always say, I told God about my troubles, right? The old spiritual song. I told him all about my troubles. And now he knows. No, he knew before you told him. He knew before you told him. But we tell kids, like, pray and tell God your issues. But God knows what's going on with you. The reason that we pray and tell God our issues is because it's that we're trusting him with it. I've been married for almost 22 years.
Amen.
And amen. How long you guys been married? I'm at 22. What you got?
47.
47. That's where we want to get. Anybody? Ooh, anybody got more than 47 in
here?
55.
Well, I would have 66. 60.
Would have been 66. Amen. Right. So that's where I want to get. I want to get there and with my wife and as long as she'll. She'll keep me.
Amen. God will heal.
Y'all pray she keep me.
Amen. All right.
But my thing is, my concern is, not concern, what I was trying to say was, things aren't real.
Amen.
Until I tell my wife. Right? Like, things will happen. Like, if things happen and she's not around, it's not really, like, it's cool. But until I tell her, it's not like, oh, this is part of our life, because that's what needs to happen. So it's not that we let God know things.
Uh-huh.
It's that we trust him with what we have. We trust him with who we are. We trust him with our issues. So it's not us telling him, it's us telling him so that we can know, okay, I believe that if I tell him that, if I trust it to him, then it can work out, right? So it's not so much that he needs to know, because he knows.
Yes, he does.
It's for us to let it go.
Yes, Lord.
It's for us to trust him.
Yes, Lord.
It's for us to present it to him,
yes.
Because he's the one who can handle it.
My Lord.
We gotta let it go.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So verse 7 says, and the peace of God, once we give it to him, once we let it go, once we give it to him and trust him and allow ourselves to let it go, because we want to hold it. We want to handle it, especially as men. We want to take care of it. I want to fix it. Nope, I don't want to call the plumber. I can fix it. Don't you want to call somebody to fix that? Nope, I can fix it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension,
will guard
your hearts and your minds
in
Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding. That's why they think we're weirdos. Because we can be at peace in chaotic situations. If you let God have it, you can be at peace in situations where everyone else is losing their mind. You can be calm when everyone else is in the storm. Right? And allow God to guard your heart and your mind. Where do you experience anxiety? If you were really worried about something, I'll talk about me. I'm going to talk about y'all. If you're really worried about something, you may feel it in your chest. If I'm concerned about something, if I get upset, if I allow myself to be anxious, and I try not to, I feel it, my chest tightens up, right? And then your head races. Thoughts in your head will race. Your heart might beat a little bit faster because you don't have peace. So the Bible says the peace of God will guard what? Your heart.
Yes.
And your mind in Christ Jesus. If we do what?
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord. And we'll close on verse 8. And I put this in here. I added this verse just because it's a way, it's the way to continue in your joy.
Yeah.
It's the way to settle into your peace. Here we go, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Our tendency is to dwell on the negative. Even when good things happen, our tendency is to dwell on the things that didn't go right. Our tendency is to dwell on the things that could go wrong. But the Bible says, dwell on these things. So allow yourself to focus your attention, your mind, your heart, and your soul on the things of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Then we can rejoice. Always. Amen. Amen.